Accession number 28879, Reel 13.
The bridge. So what happened between when you came back from, when you left the SAS and joined the, when you left the SBS and joined the SAS, what happened between then and when you were injured? Do you see what I mean?
Oh, I see. No, no, just...
Because we skipped a bit then, haven't we? If we, yes, we went straight from the SBS to you being injured.
We went to Fluka from there first, that's right. Of course, it was quite a while before we went up to the Bardia. We went to the, what was it? The rendezvous, Paddy Main's rendezvous. Of course, all the raids were organised from there as well, you see.
Right, was that when you first went, when you joined the SAS? Yes.
Yeah. That's when they joined. Yeah. But then we went to this aerodrome. It was between Bardia and Fluka, I think it was. There were six of us went on that one.
Sutherland?
Sutherland was on it, and I forget now, I'll look at the two corporals, myself, and Lewis, I think it was. Anyway, there was... It was a small aerodrome and a car park as well, and a railway siding as well. Before you come to World War II, we went to drop bombs on the railways.
How many vehicles did you take? Then,
we went two, I think it was. There were only six of us.
Right.
I think there were two Jeeps this time, it was.
Willis Jeeps? The American Jeeps?
No, the ordinary American Jeeps, yeah.
Right.
And...
So six of you
we got to the drome, and there was about four or five what was it now? The equivalent to the British Lysander, the reconnaissance plane.
The Storch.
What?
Storch?
Storch, I don't know, I can't remember the name exactly.
A little one seater thing.
Yeah, they're a small one, yeah.
With a high wing.
About three of them there. We managed to bomb those. And then...
how did you do that? Was it
bomb was night time, yeah. There were no sentries about at that time.
There was nothing?
No, nothing. There was a huge car park there, on the side, like an RASC car park there. And there were some petrol drums around there, so we put bombs on the petrol drums. We got to these two, or three aircraft, I think it was, and we put bombs on those. There was just one in the seat. And then on the way back, one of the chaps ran off with the bomb and put it in the canteen, outside in the canteen window, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
Or left outside on the canteen somewhere, I forget now what he did. And then we just got back, and that was all over and done within about a matter of a couple of hours, that is.
So you didn't wait for them to go off?
Oh, they were time penciled. No, it was about an hour's delay it was.
Right.
But we heard them go off eventually, you know.
Uh-huh.
What happened, we don't know. But that was I've forgotten about half of that one.
Well, and then you went back to Paddy Main rendezvous after that.
Then we organised for the what's it called again? Benghazi one, then.
Right.
Organised. It was all organised to start with, anyway. But everything had all been packed up and ready. All I had to do was the boat was all already on the already packed on. I think this raid must have been an afterthought, or it might have been a way of trying us out as well, because we were new, you see.
Right.
And Stirling had different ideas about trying men out first, you know, and see what they were like.
Uh-huh.
Might have heard he took Sutherland's word in my case, but in any case, when you don't mind being tried out, you know.
Yeah.
But it went off all right, anyway, so that was that.
Was the Benghazi one?
Oh, no, the other one.
Right, the airfield one.
Yeah, the airfield one.
Were there any others you did, or...?
No, that was just the two. And then, of course, then I was off then for when was it? Apart from a bit of line spotting, and I was off then. Of course, after being wounded, I was off for about a couple of months, and
right.
Didn't see much more after that. So, until the first Seaborne SAS raid, and that was the Rhodes one.
Right. Yeah. And that's where you were captured.
Yeah. Mm.
What was the hospital like?
Oh, marvellous.
Was it?
It was when I was there. It was right near the harbour, and of course, when they bombed the harbour, it upset the nurses a bit, you know, because the bombs are quite close, but they did well, the nurses did.
Was the food good?
Well,
was it good food, or...?
Well, I can't remember the food. We didn't bother much about food in those days, and it was all... We ate well, that's all we minded.
You ate well, you say?
Yeah. We'd always buy plenty of food. You could go and buy a chicken for 2 shillings.
Right.
Twenty piastres in the shops in the town, anything like that. And we often used to do that, a chicken about that size, all roasted, and eat it on our way back to camp, so to speak.
Right.
We always did well with eating. So.
What was your pay? Was it better than your sergeant's pay, so you weren't bad off?
It was £2.60, I think, £2.10, something like that, my pay was then. Sergeant pay.
How much extra did you get?
There's nothing extra then, not for special service in those days. That came in afterwards, you know.
Right.
The special pay in Britain was when you were billeted. You got the extra 7 and 6 a week.
Mm-hmm.
But you got nothing abroad. But,
What did a private get?
It wasn't very much at all, but not much more than a pound, I shouldn't think.
So you're sort of twice the pay of a private.
It wasn't very much. And yet, it was only £5.10 when I left.
Right.
I was a staff sergeant then.
Right.
Then I had a parachute pay as well. That came to half a crown a day. That mounted up, you know. So
what did you spend your money on?
Nothing much. We used to drink and drink in the mess. It was all quite cheap there, you know. But we used to eat out a lot. I remember that in Palestine as well, you know.
Right.
We used to eat out at the restaurants because that was good eating there.
Yeah. Did you get made up to a staff sergeant or a colour sergeant?
Yeah, I made up a colour sergeant because...
In the parachute regiment?
Yeah. At the time... this was after I went with the colonel's escort troop first, you see. I made up the escort troop,
yeah.
Escort and bodyguard troop. Well, then when the time was gradually coming up to leave, they had to get somebody else in. And another sergeant took over, I handed it over to him. That took about a week. And then I was just more or less idling around then. And then... suddenly the CQMS had gone. He'd been bundled off, he'd been demobbed. So I knew him well, and I was with him a lot, and I went into the store with him.
Right.
And the office sergeant came in one day, he said, "How long have you been doing this CQ business?" I said, "Oh, I'm only doing it until I get posted, you know." He said, "Well, how long have you been doing it?" I said, about a month now. He was a new sergeant, you know. And he came up, he said, "Well," he said, "you should be getting your rank," he said. He went in and saw the officer, and within a week I'd made up the CQMS, so
right.
That was a bit extra money as well. But there wasn't much on there in those days, not from the stores.
Yeah.
Peacetime accounting had come in, and that made it easier, you know. But